thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
From Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee, this is the Journey Now Roundtable. It's our weekly Wednesday discussion featuring a bunch of Journey pastors and one lucky pastor. My name's Grant, and I'm the second part of that formula. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for hanging out with us. Let's introduce those pastors who are here with me.
Yes, Mike Erie, coming
strong,
up live.
Strong entrance, Grant, per usual.
Golly, this is every Tim Timmons. Time.
Yeah,
this every time. Wind.
Pastored Grant.
Yep.
You're hearing the dulcet tones of Tim Timmons there.
Yes.
And Susie Lind.
Yeah. Yes.
Well done. Ooh, glad you remembered.
I mean,
for those of you listening, this is going to be a little different today because we're all on Zoom. I don't know if we've said so, but we're trying to make sure that we can meet as safely and as well as we possibly can on Sundays and our other key gatherings. So when we don't need to, like when we're doing this podcast, we're all meeting in our Brady Bunch squares, and it's a little bit different than a regular recording. So welcome to 2020 again.
Susie has new glasses.
Yeah, let's catch people up.
Yeah.
How large in diameter are those glasses, would you estimate, Mr. No, I'm sorry, Susie. I'm sorry.
They're about 14 inches in circumference.
Yes.
So
perfect. Okay,
but they're super cute, Sue. Super cute.
You didn't see the first ones I got, though. Even bigger.
You're talking to glasses Timmons. Timmons, that's my deal. So yeah. I'm a fan. That's
it's on brand. It's on brand. But it is weird to look at Susie on Zoom and see the entire room she's in reflected back through the lenses. So it's good.
This isn't one of those ones that's going to go on the YouTube, is it?
Oh, for sure. Pastor Grant, help us out.
So for those of you listening online.
Oh.
I look like Edna Moog.
No, Susie, you are. Listen. A
dead giveaway.
You know what I'm seeing in this is Tina Fey.
Oh, that's
Tina Fey look, I think. Yes.
That's I did the year that Sarah Palin was running for vice president. I did don
you could.
The Tina Fey, Sarah Palin look for Halloween that year.
Strong.
Yeah, because you can look friendly and deeply pissed off at the same time.
Yeah. That's my resting disinterested look.
That's right.
Resting disinterested face.
That's a clean way of saying it.
Yeah.
So let's all talk about Christmas, shall we?
Yes.
Yes.
I think we should go there because, you know, we should have known that the 2020 version of Journey Church wasn't going to give us a Christmas story that was all little drummer boys and light up creche scenes and all of that. But I mean, we've gone further. We're flipping all the way from the Hallmark Channel to HBO or AMC Christmas, at least. So, Mike, you want to fill us in for those who missed the Sunday gathering, which, by the way, is posted on journeytn.com for everyone to go listen as soon as this podcast ends?
Oh, yes. So we're trying to tie in the traditional themes of Advent, peace, love, joy, hope, into a passage in Isaiah 9 where it speaks of the government being on the shoulders of the Messiah. And we've been trying to just contrast a little bit about what this Jesus was like as a king and is like as a king, contrary to the Caesar Augustus and the message of Caesar's day. And the propaganda that Caesar would use. And so we've looked at the joy. We looked a bit at the joy that Luke makes sure to include is for all the people. And one of the ways it's for all the peoples that Jesus doesn't show up as a somebody who is full of splendor and glory and in, you know, full spectacular glorified regalia, but instead he comes as somebody who is very disadvantaged in a lot of surprising ways.
So for some people who maybe are just discovering Jesus, this is probably reassuring, right? That he's coming as someone who's relatable.
Yes.
But for those who have been around church for a while, it's probably a little bit unsettling. And maybe for the rest of us, it's a confusing mishmash of both of those things. How should we understand this, I don't know, amplified version of the Jesus story that we're hearing?
I love it.
Well said.
I'm being laughed at. I'm not trying to ask.
No, but question. Like, do you remember the amplified translation of the Bible?
Oh yeah.
That's what I thought you were riffing on. I thought that was exactly right. I was laughing out of like appreciation for your brilliance. So,
and if you were laughing in that spirit, then that's exactly what I meant.
Well, I think that, not shockingly, the longer you walk with this this Nazarene fellow, the bigger Jesus should get, right? I mean, ideally, I don't mean bigger in the sense of like, oh, I you know, now I understand to be God or whatever. I just mean in the sense of like my view of him keeps getting bigger, and I understand that the stories about him are far more layered. And, you know, we believe about the scriptures that, you know, anyone who can read can pick them up and benefit from them, but you can also give your whole life to their study and never reach the bottom. And so we're trying to, these aspects have always been in there, but the temptation of the people of God has always been to kind of sanitize these stories so that they're more palatable. And, you know, per COVID guidelines, we're trying to sanitize, but we're trying to do it in ways that kind of allow us to still experience the whole thing.
So let me take it back though, specifically to Christmas and the Christmas season. I love, Mike, on Sunday, you used the word tinselized.
I didn't know that.
You said it was a tinselized Christmas. I'm going one step further and saying we've all been tinselated from the truth.
That's funny. See, can I laugh at that? Because that's genius.
We'll just all stop and let you laugh. Go. But in all seriousness, how does this change the way we experience Christmas? Mm.
Tim and Susie, what do you guys think? Is this stuff that you've heard before? Is this new stuff? Or for me, it's radically transforming of the whole holiday and calls into question the excess of the holiday in ways that, you know, I always knew, consumerism, you know, isn't the best, healthiest thing and not the most appropriate way to celebrate Jesus. But then when you're really taking a close look at the Jesus you're celebrating, this couldn't be more anti-Christ than what it is that we've chosen to do in celebration of his kind of kingship and his kind of birth and his kind of movement.
So what does Christmas look like at your house then, Tim, in light of this?
Well, now we've called the whole thing off. My kids are pissed. They're totally mad. So I'm like, it's Mike's fault. Uncle Mike, he did it.
Yep.
So they're really loving Jesus right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was interesting this weekend, you know, because I work with Caitlin as we're putting songs together and whatnot. And in the past 2 weekends have been a little rough with your messages because you've almost been dogging some of the things that we have that we've been using for so long. Like a lot of these Christmas songs are really tinselating. But I mean, really they're so sweet. And the baby Jesus,
right?
Cootie cootie cootie, you know, whatever. And, some of these don't work. In this
I didn't think of that.
In this way of seeing the real story.
Yeah.
So I think it's more just, it's challenging in some ways. I don't know how to do this different in the House. Cause I, you know, I heard even you, Mike, you're like, I'm not saying bail the whole thing. It's not bad. No. It's just, it's how are we walking into this? How does this change things? I really loved the, for all, you know, this is joy for all the people.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what it was on this weekend. Mm-hmm. That just having this reminder that there's nothing that, yeah, I mean, you said it. You said there's nothing that we can say, oh, you don't really know what it feels like, or it's like, no, he literally went to the actual bottom, the bottom of the, you know, status ladder to begin. And that's right. Where
that's well said.
That's actually where it started. So for us to just actually engage with him in that place, it came a little bit more human.
Mm.
It's what's his name did. Who's Eldridge did a while back.
Yeah. John Eldridge was, you know, like, yeah.
He would kind of make Jesus a little bit more human. I think this weekend was just a next level deeper of even just on this story.
And how, I mean, one of the things that I thought about, and I discussed this a little bit with Mike, was how does that relate specifically to us here as a suburban community at Journey in Brentwood, right? I mean, we talk about this Jesus coming in of low position with no advantages in life, scandalized and being appealing to the prostitutes and the outcasts and the lepers. And last I looked around at our gatherings, and we all have our demons.
Yeah.
But we're more rich young ruler, or maybe at the very least sort of compromised tax collector. Mm. So how can we engage with that? What does that mean for us?
Mm. Great question. Susie.
I think, you know, the thing that's been really challenging for me, I mean, for over the years, I've heard the narrative of like, you know, he didn't come the way people expected, and how his presence, it was always an invitation for the marginalized and all that. But I think the whole expanding my knowledge on Caesar Augustus and really like all the history that you've brought into it, Mike, about the Roman rule and the culture at the time, that's been really, that's the stuff that I've never really learned before. And it's expanded, it's really expanded for me, or underscored for me the truth that often when God enters in or we recognize his presence and what he's doing, it's often very different than what we expect or think it should be. So for me, I think 2020 is the best year to to untinselize Christmas, because I think for so many people, we're either, you know, we're either looking forward to Christmas and getting into it because it marks the end of the year and we want it to be over, or we're just really having trouble entering into what the celebration of Christmas actually is and what it's supposed to be. And what I'm learning on Sunday mornings at Journey is that everything that we think is supposed to be may not actually be what it's supposed to be. So that for me, that's been really formative the last couple of weeks.
Right. I was thinking about exactly that. And I was actually thinking about your perspective, Susie, because 2020 has stripped us of our ability to be naive or tinselated in so many areas, whether it's politics, mm-hmm. or health, or community, institutions. And it's one of those years where loss of innocence is sort of not fun, but there's also an opportunity to savor the idea of seeing the world and the truth with eyes that are wider open in so many ways. And by the way, we have to say, Mike Erie wrote a book.
Oh boy.
Did you not know that?
Well,
purpose driven
God wins. Yes.
No, Mike wrote a book called The Jesus of Suburbia.
Oh boy.
Which I think addresses a lot of these things and goes beyond Christmas, sort of looking at that historical. Mike doesn't like me right now. Do you not like your own book? Was it not well written? Would you go back and write it differently?
No, I just don't like talking about it.
Okay. Well,
no, I mean, thank you. It's one of those things. I mean, and Tim and other people probably have similar opinions. It's it just sounds presumptuous. You know what I mean? So I always like, I won't often talk about those things.
But if you're looking for something that addresses the theme of a Jesus who's not that
yes,
glossy mm-hmm. Jesus and takes it beyond just the Christmas story into the rest of your year, right? What does this mean for you living in American culture? There it is. And it makes an excellent Christmas gift. It's available on online booksellers everywhere.
That's awesome.
Hey, I just have one more question that I have to ask this week, which is Mike.
Yes. Yes.
If you're Cleveland Browns this
year. Yes. Yes. I was hoping.
If they played a football game against Jesus and his angels.
Oh, yeah.
And only Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski showed up because the rest of the team had COVID.
Yeah.
Who would win and what would the final score be?
God. Oh, my goodness. It's such a great question. First of all, we all know that Jesus is on the side of the poor and marginalized. So he's on the
side of Cleveland.
So,
lowly.
Yeah, so we might be talking lowly, forfeit here.
The losers, there would be a forfeit. There'd be no other team unless Satan and his demons decided to play in the form of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then we'd have a ball game. But otherwise, as per 2020, everything's upside down. And my Cleveland Browns have a winning record. And I'm not sure that more than Christmas, this is what's puzzling. This is good news of great joy for all people.
Well, it just shows. I mean, you talked about everybody's welcome at the table.
Yes.
Even they are welcome at the table.
Oh, Grant, you're the best.
You guys are the best.
Focused.
And that's it for this week's Journey Now Roundtable. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you like these discussions, let us know, because that will really be news to us, but we'll be happy to receive it. But please do let us know if you like the discussion. Send us your feedback. Send us your questions. Share this podcast with a friend. Maybe even write a review to help us spread the word to the rest of the world, right?
Yes.
Susie's going to have a new Journey Now podcast for us on Friday.
Let's go.
Until then,
yes.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn.